The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
Welcome to the Rack Extra Views Total Bellas edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 6 of Total Bellas. And, well, we're getting the fallout from last episode, which was that Bree Bella accidentally kicked poor Liv Morgan in the face. And to say that Bree was upset would be an understatement.
So the majority of the first 20 minutes of this show was Bree dealing with herself being upset and questioning whether she belongs in the ring and how tired she is. And that sort of was the theme for like 20 minutes of the show, whether she was talking to her sister or to Daniel Bryan. It just sort of was a thing that we saw throughout the episode. And you kind of understand that she was struggling with a confliction at times about her being there and working as much as she does. But the one thing we need to talk about is her being tired of what she reads online and all the comments about the incident. You know what she can do? Stay off the Twitter, stay off the Instagram, just stay offline, stay off of it.
I mean, I will say this, having gone through it and seen it and know what all was said, people were absolutely vicious to her. I'm not even going to lie. People were cruel, they were mean, they were awful to her during this time, and I can understand completely why she was upset about it. But there was some relatively constructive criticism, and what was interesting is when they showed the comments on the show, they showed some of the more constructive comments versus some of the absolutely vicious ones that were put out there, and I don't think that was necessarily the best of ideas. I hate to be negative on the show again for like the second week in a row, but I really don't like how they handled Bree in this episode and how they portrayed her. Because I understand that she was upset and she has every right to be upset, but for the first, like you said, 20-30 minutes of the show, all she did was whine. Like, all she did was whine. And it was just like, that's not the Bree we know.
No, we're used to seeing the confident Bree, and she's usually in very control, and so this is a side we're not used to seeing, and it's just, I'm with you, it's like, they portrayed her in such a light, made her very unlikable.
Yeah, I mean, it made it very difficult to watch, and it's not because she was upset, it's just because it was the same quasi-justification over and over and over again that she's tired, she's overworked, she's doing too much, you know, she's mentally and physically exhausted, and that's all completely relatable. We're all there, right? We are not working the schedule that she's working, we're not running two businesses, we're not managing a wrestling comeback with two shows, none of us are doing that. But, you know, there are people out there working 40, 50, 60, 80 hours a week, busting their humps, losing sleep, having to travel, having to do other things for their jobs, and they're equally as tired and equally as mentally exhausted, and they're still getting up and doing it every day. Now, granted, they did not kick Liv Morgan in the face. That is unique to Bree. But it just, this whole thing to me, it's like, in the beginning, she was making excuses as to why it would happen, and she didn't accept it. And I know that was the theme of the episode, was her, at the end, accepting what she did. Accepting that she had made a mistake, because at the beginning of the episode, she's like, well, I'm Bree Bella, this doesn't happen to me. Wait a minute. What puts you above making a mistake? You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Mm-mm. So I just feel like that was kind of a miscue in the way that they told that story with her. Because it made it really sort of like difficult to watch with her. And I feel like if they had just in the beginning where she's like, you know, I screwed up. It happened because it took her sister. It took Paige.
Brian,
all of them telling her, look, this is what we sign up for. This is part of the job. This is a hazard of the job. Accidents do happen. And, you know, it's like you messed up. It's not your fault. It's not her fault. It happens. The important thing is Liv is going to be fine, right? Three people told her that. And it took to the end of the episode of Johnny Ace telling her, where he's like, you know, look, somebody elbowed me in the throat and I have an abnormal voice now because of it. I'm not mad at the dude. It happened. Life goes on for her to finally like come through it. And it's just like,
And wouldn't you know, they talked about how life is like a roller coaster, and they were on a roller coaster.
Hey! So yeah, so I mean, to me, I wasn't a huge fan of the way that they handled Bree in this episode.
No, I'm right there with you.
I'm not knocking Bree at all, by the way. I'm just saying I didn't like how they edited her. I didn't like how they put it together. It made it very, very hard and very, very difficult.
So, you mentioned Paige was on the show, right?
Yep.
Very convenient to have her on the show to promote her movie.
I mean, goddamn, I have to give them credit this season. They are on top of the product placement. They are on it.
I mean, here, you need to see the trailer of the movie.
In the show.
Boy, very shameless product placement, shilling of things, like use creator code RocketSock in Fortnite Item Shop. But I digress.
God damn. Also watch the video on Twitter.
That's twitter.com/WildTalkRadio.
Anyway. Moving on.
Moving on. And she gave her good advice. And what we learned is, at that point, she chose Raw over SmackDown. Because it's easier on her.
Yeah, so one of the things that, like you said, one of the decisions she makes is, it's okay, I have to give something up. You know, and we kind of iterated this last week. A little bit. I tried to hold it back, but it's like one of her comments is that she never gets to see Brian Hartley. She never really gets to see Birdie. She's got two businesses she's trying to balance. She's trying to manage this comeback. She's doing all these different things. And it's like, okay, well, here's the deal. You decided to take Birdie B on after the CEO left in mysterious circumstances. And so you took this on yourself. A way to sort of alleviate having to manage the businesses is you can, you know, hire people to help you take care of the businesses and run them for you. Whether they're a CEO, whether they're, you know, whatever title you want to give them.
They could be an executive vice president.
Yeah, they could be the executive vice president. And they're helping you make the decisions, and they're helping you manage and run the day-to-day of the business. And she could have that. The flip side of that is, you know, you hire an assistant, which I think they do actually have one.
They do.
She's just never on the show.
They make it seem like she doesn't exist. But they have one.
Yeah. But I mean, there are ways to sort of like alleviate a lot of the problems that she's having, and she's kind of created for herself because she said yes to all these commitments, and that's the story. And so she's trying to figure out a way to balance it all. But, you know, the way to balance it is you have to let go of some of it. And that's what she's starting to do here, is she's letting go of being on both Raw and SmackDown, and she's just going to Raw to focus on Evolution and be a part of Evolution. She loves Brian, but, you know, Evolution. Y'all, Evolution. So
way more important.
Way more important. So that's kind of where she's at there. So we'll see what else happens in terms of her life.
But at the other side of things, right? We then look at Nikki Bella and what's going on with her and Bree's involvement there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the flip side to this was Bree's having all her troubles, but part of what's helping to perk her up, I guess, is fixing Nikki up on a date. And, you know, Nikki won't go on Tinder. She won't go on what was the other one? Bubbler? No.
Bumble.
Bumble. There it is. Bumble. She won't go on Bumble. She won't use any kind of dating service. And so Bree suggests getting dates through their press agent. Which I kind of knew this was a thing. It's really kind of almost an old Hollywood way of doing it, where you essentially send word out through the press networks that, hey, or through the agency networks of, hey, Nikki Bella is kind of coming back on the market. We're looking to have her seen with someone. Do you have anybody available? And, well, they got a few bites, and one was Tay Diggs. The other was Peter from The Bachelor, who, according to Danny Bryan, is very hot.
We need to quote him when he first saw him, right?
Right.
Peter is hot. As a straight man, I could say Peter is hot.
Daniel Bryan is in love with Peter.
Yes.
Which, that says a lot right there. Bryan is in love. He's in. So Nikki is very hesitant about this, you know, but her whole family is like, oh, come on, do it. You know, you never know. Just have fun with it. And she's like, oh, okay, fine. I'll do it. I'll go on the date with Peter from The Bachelor. And so we get to the date.
No, we got to back up before. It's the day of the date. We got to go to the hotel.
Where
Bree wants to find some stuff out about the date, and Nikki's very curious, so they FaceTime the dude, but Bree's doing the FaceTiming. And it was such awkward questioning from her. And at one point, she was wanted to fake being Nikki, but that wasn't going to work. I mean, clearly, you can't, when you're in a bathing suit, you can't fake that you're Nikki.
Well, I mean, if you just do it from, like, the neck up, it's okay. I mean,
you could, but let's be real. There's a clear difference.
There's a very clear difference. And yeah, so Bree starts, you know, trying to get information, and Peter's playing coy. He doesn't want to give it. And then, you know, the question that we all want to know, and Bree just outright asks it, which was kind of hilarious, which was, hey, do you want marriage and kids? And Peter's like, absolutely. And Bree's like, sold! Take her!
She's all yours.
She's all yours. Because, I mean, if you say no, we're just going to cancel this right now. We're not getting her back into that. So, yeah. So, we have that. So, then we cut to the date, which they have a professional makeup artist for Nikki. They're pressing her outfit. She doesn't really know what to wear because, you know, Peter didn't give up the deets. So, she's just got to, you know, dress accordingly, which she dresses in a very nice conservative outfit.
Mm-hmm.
She looks super good. And they're giving her crap. And by the way, as she's getting ready, she's drinking sake straight out of the bottle, which is typical first date behavior. You know, we all go through that. We've all been there. But if you're under 21, no, you haven't. And please don't do it until you're 21.
Chocolate milk. Drink the chocolate milk. Go calm you down. Go.
Yeah, chocolate milk. Chocolate milk. Anyway, so they're getting her ready and they're giving her crap because it's like, oh my God, what if he shows up with flowers and this? And she's like, oh, he better not. He better do it. That's what that means. So, and he does. He shows up not in a limo, but he shows up in a nice SUV, which they're being chauffeured around, and he brings her flowers.
Meets the family, meets the dogs, meets Daniel Bryan.
Meets everybody.
Meets them all.
I'm pretty sure, just based on this first meeting, that if Nikki Bella does not want to marry this guy, her entire family will.
Daniel Bryan would be first.
Daniel Bryan will be first. But yeah, like the entire family is just like making googly eyes at this guy because he's very tall and he's very handsome. And according to Bryan, again, he's hot. So we have the Bryan stamp of approval on Peter from The Bachelor. They hop in the car. They get whisked off to their date. They're having, you know, some small talk, some chit chat. And does anybody, and then I'm going to date myself, does anybody remember the show Blind Date?
Yep.
Blind Date. Okay, if you've never heard of this show, one, you need to go watch it on YouTube. It is the biggest train wreck you've ever seen, but it's amazing. So basically what happens is these two strangers get set up on a blind date. Very simple concept. And they have this elaborate date where they do a pre-dinner activity, and then we go to dinner, and then you generally ended up in some cave-like hot tub place where you either, you know, so you could both get each other pretty much naked. And then after the date was over, you either said F off, you know, maybe I'll see you later, or people just outright banged.
Bang, bang, bang the bang, as the bang, bang, bang the bang.
So that's what this was really reminiscent of, because they go to the pre-date, you know, sort of warm up, I guess is what you want to call it. And hey, we go to a gondola.
Or as she said, gondola.
Yes, gondola. Gondola, vendor, place, thing, boat ride at the docks. And so he has this romantic gondola waiting for her, complete with gondolier in his little striped shirt and hat. Mm-hmm. And he's brought a basket of alcohol with him.
Imagine that.
And now, mind you, in the car, she's like, yeah, I totally stalked your Instagram. And he's like, well, I wouldn't expect anything less. I didn't look up anything on you.
And as they're chit-chatting, he didn't know really much. He's a wrestler and going back on the road. But she mentioned, talk about her wine. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the one thing I did know. So someone clued him in.
Yeah, because, gee, when they get to the gondola, he's like, hey, let's drink this bottle of wine. Oh, my God, it's your wine.
Imagine that.
Your exclusive bottle of wine that you can only buy online and is supposedly sold out everywhere. Like, you can't get it. Somehow this dude has a bottle of her wine. Just awesome product placement. Whoever did that was just on point. I have to applaud that. That was good.
I mean, just, yeah, yeah.
So we're riding around, we're chit-chatting, we're drinking, we're having fun, we're having a good time. The gondola ride ends. They go up, they talk some more, they're flirting, there's some chemistry going on, they're making hard eyes at each other. And he's like, we should probably go to dinner because by this point they're both, I think, a little drunk. And this is where she admits to pre-gaming the date, and he's like, yeah, yeah, I was really nervous, but I think I'm okay now. So we go to this nice restaurant, they have dinner by the fire, you know, they're talking, and he's like, normally this isn't like my typical first date. And she's like, yeah, really? Because she admits that she hasn't been on a date in 6 years, and it's just all very, very nerve-wracking for her. And he's like, yeah, normally I don't do it like this. Normally I just like to have coffee with somebody. And she's like, and it's this, oh my God, me too moment with her. Mm-hmm. Or she's like, well, then why didn't we go get coffee? But she'll take this instead. And so they're talking, and they're talking about her schedule. And gee, conveniently, they're going to be in New York at the same time. Why don't we get together? Why don't we have a second date? And then we go outside to end the show. They're talking. They're flirting. They're making eye contact. She's sending all these, like, you know,
the signals.
All the signals. He's sending all the signals. And he says to her, I really want to kiss you right now. I think they're both tipsy, more than tipsy by this point. But as we close the episode, he's moving in for the kiss, and she's not saying no.
But did they kiss?
But did they kiss? I don't know. We'll have to find out next week. But yeah, I just want to say to any of the men or women listening to this show that when you're significant other says that they want romance, candles, wine, flowers, the whole shebang, when they say they want that, show them this portion of this episode. Because I swear to God, if you look up first date expectations in the dictionary, it is this date right here. I mean, we had a romantic boat ride. We had wine. We had a wonderful dinner by the fire at a very high-class restaurant. We had some chit-chat outside by another fire. There was kissing. The guy was super hot. The girl was super hot. I mean, you know, it's... There you go. This was it. This was the date. The quintessential. This cannot be topped.
Okay. I got nothing to add to that.
Yeah. I mean, I just... It's like you're watching this and you're like, I want this, but at the same time, I have no possible way of achieving this because I simply can't afford it. But it's like, this is the date. This is the thing to beat in terms of first dates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just, how do you top that? You can't. You can't.
That second date's going to suck then.
Yeah, that second date's going to be awkward, but we'll see if they get to a second date. But it is good to see that Nikki is starting to be put back out there, even if it's only potentially for PR, for the show, or for whatever. But there was... For this, just watching it, there was a little bit of forced chemistry, especially in the beginning. And then as it moves on, it gets a little bit more real and you can see all the reactions.
Alcohol will do that.
Where there was body language and there was everything else that she was interested in, he was interested in. They got along well. They talked well. The conversation apparently continued through the whole date. And she made a comment that it's like normally, or, you know, she wasn't feeling like, okay, well, you said you were going to take me out for 2 hours. It's been 2 hours. Take me home. She wasn't looking for a way to bail out of it. Like, she was actually having a good time and really enjoying herself. So that's all a really good sign for her. I don't think this lasts. I don't think this sticks, just because she made the comment that Artem is very busy with Dancing with the Stars.
So the one she wants to bang, 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 bang is unavailable, so she'll just go with Peter from The Bachelor.
Okay. Not the worst thing in the world.
Okay, we'll see what happens. We'll see the fallout next week.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it's a good episode.
It was a very not as heavily intense episode as previous episodes. That makes sense?
Yeah, it was just there was a couple problems with it, but overall it was a good episode.
I enjoyed it.
We'll have to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. But as always, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rock Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's support a creator code, Rock and Sock, at the Fortnite item shop. twitch.tv/WGRLive.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LinzWard. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Total Bellas edition right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back next week with episode 7. Till then, bye!